Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Marco.
We shall begin.
Okay.
We're in section 18, starting with Pasuk 154, and I'll start with Olashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudcha Brichu Ishkinte Bid Hiluur Himud Hiluud Hiluur Himu Leakta L'shem Yud He Bavate Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Amadonai Eloheinu Elim Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Elena Maasei Yadeinu Kananeihu Lekol ho dargin sal kam beraza dahmeta dekad mistachlam ilain dargin yistakel barnash dahma ilaa wahain neshama ayel beho Umit da bekan balikad, I shall talk again. Hahu Barnash e gray kadosh, Shilim mikola reuta hadalaga be kuchabrihu. The translation. All these grades rise in accordance with the secret of the inner wisdom. Because when the grades look at each other, man is able to look upon the supernal wisdom and the neshama can enter to them, to the nefesh and the ruach, and they cling to it. So when the neshama governs, then man is called holy, perfected in all ways, and is entirely devoted to the Holy One, blessed be He. My commentary. The Pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. There is new information here also. Questions, comments, thoughts.
When it says all these grades, is it referring to just the Nefesh and Ruach, or the Nefesh, Ruach, and the Neshama?
Well, it's referring to the relationship between the Nefesh and the Ruach, and then also the Neshama.
Okay.
The grades are related to the relationship.
Okay, well, I wasn't too sure if it was waiting, because the Neshama, it's mentioned a few words later, if it was just two or the three. Secret of the inner wisdom, does that mean when they're in unity and they're communicating with each other?
Yes.
Okay, and inner wisdom is different from supernal wisdom, right?
Correct.
Okay. Is supernal wisdom is
about the mental levels, the Bina, Hachman, and Keter.
Okay.
The inner wisdom has to do with the seven lower Sephirot.
Okay.
Which is why Neshama relates to the supernal wisdom, it relates to Bina, whereas the Nefesh and the Ruach are relating to the inner wisdom.
Okay, so when that stage is reached, then the person or the soul then has reached a higher level. Is that what it's saying?
Well, when you made the statement when that stage is reached, then I'm not sure with what you're asking.
Well, it's saying that then the neshama once the soul sees the supernal wisdom, then the neshama can enter in to them. Okay, so then they're all three in unity and communicating with each other. And then it says that the neshama then can then govern, and the man is called holy. So evidently, when that happens, that's what I referred to as the stage, which stage may not be the best word for it, then that person seems to be on a higher level previously.
Okay.
And that's a question.
Well, the operative word that you haven't really talked about yet is that the neshama can enter to them. And Rabbi Ashlag tells us it's to the nefesh and the ruach. And they cling to it. To it means the neshama. The clinging is this interrelationship between the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. But the neshama is entering into the nefesh and the ruach, meaning the neshama is bringing the levels of bina to the levels of nefesh and ruach.
Okay. Now, is that on a daily basis? In other words, can the man be called holy today and not holy tomorrow?
The man can be called holy for 1 minute and then not be called holy the next minute.
Well, I wanted to at least give him 24 hours and get past what Adam.
Well, the goal is to remain holy. We move in and out of holiness all the time.
Yeah. My joke is, especially if you've got a husband. That's a joke.
I picked up on that.
No comment needed. Can't live with them, can't live without them. So let's go on.
That's the reality. Absolutely.
Of course, I know he could say the same thing about the wife, so.
And he does.
I wonder, too, that once the three were in unity, and if I know the last two, Haida and Yusuf, is that still not in this world? That's not a world?
Typically, the Chaya and the Yechida do not enter into the body. And that has the meaning of the idea of the Neshama entering to the Nefesh and the Ruach.
Okay. So the other two levels don't come until the soul is in the spiritual world, the upper world? Or is this something that happens at night?
Say this again. You broke up.
Gosh, I hope I can remember what I said. I said, does that mean then that I don't know how I said it.
Did somebody else want to say
that the three are united, the Nefesh and the Ruach and the Neshama, can they, when they enter into the upper garden at night, then does the soul then join with the other two levels, or is it something that happens after when the soul passes away and is in the spiritual world then?
No, it happens at night.
Okay. Because this chapter had to do with, and the one before, you know, with nighttime, that's how we started. That was the reason I asked that question.
I understand.
Okay.
Did anybody else want to ask any questions? I thought I heard somebody trying to ask something.
I was just trying to finish Anna's thought.
Go ahead.
No, I was just trying to help her out remember what she was trying to say. But she got there.
Okay. Should I go on?
Sometimes, just in an instant, and it just comes to you. You know, it wasn't something that you really thought about, and it's easy to lose mm-hmm. it.
Right.
Thank you, though.
You're welcome.
Verse 155. The Nefesh Yehu Ita Ruta Tata Vedasamika Vegufa Vizanat Leya Vegufa Achid Ba Vayeyo Vahiyo Itahadat Pagufa Levatar Itaknat Vitavityat Karsiayoli Ashra Allah Ruach Vitaruta Dehai Nefesh Vitahidat Pagufa Kimadiktiv adyare aleinu ruach mimarom. The translation. The Nefesh rouses from below, which means that it is the lowest of the lights, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Because it is closest to the body and nourishes it, the body clings to it, and it to the body. Afterwards, the Nefesh is amended by good deeds a person performs and becomes a throne on which the Ruach dwells. This is because of the awakening of the Nefesh, which is attached to the body. As it is written, until the Spirit, the Ruach, be poured upon us from on high. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. There is new information here also. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think I'm missing what the new information is.
I think it shows elevations for Malkut and the in one of the Sephiroth.
And Zeranpin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because
the Nefesh is amended, meaning corrected,
mm-hmm.
by the good deeds that a person performs.
And those sparks are stored up into the upper elevation. We don't lose those sparks, right?
I don't understand what you mean by those sparks.
Well, you know, when you do good deeds, you are repairing a cocoon. You're doing a cocoon. So what you repaired in that spark is elevated, and it becomes part of Adam's soul. A tiny, whichever that may be, a little finger or part of a finger or whatever it's repairing.
Correct. But it repairs your body. It repairs your nefesh.
Right.
Doing a good deed elevates your nefesh, which elevates a spark. That's why the good deed is performed, to elevate the spark.
Mm-hmm. Elegant put.
Say again?
That's a better explanation than I was trying to get across.
Many people think...
And saying the nefesh is amended. I thought that was a good term.
Mm-hmm.
Amended is actually correcting.
Mm-hmm.
Cleansing. That's the purpose behind the doing of the good deed.
Right. Are they saying then after a collection of so many good deeds, then the Ruach comes down?
After so many good deeds, the Nefesh is completely corrected at all levels, and then the Ruach will come down.
But we continue to blemish our nefesh.
We can, or we can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Once our nefesh is corrected, we no longer will blemish the nefesh. We might blemish the Ruach, but never the Nefesh, once the Nefesh is corrected. And the Ruach can't come down until the Nefesh is completely corrected.
Okay.
Otherwise, we would never get finished.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go on?
Yes, sir.
156. Livatar dim takne tar vayhu zeminin lekabelad neshama deharuach itaved karsi ayo legabe. Neshama le'ashreya aleya v'hai neshama yehi sutima ila'a al-kola temi'mara de'kosami temirin. The translation: after both the Nefesh and the Ruach are amended, and they are ready to receive the Neshama, because the Ruach becomes a throne on which the Neshama rests, And this neshama is high above all and remains concealed, unattainable, and most hidden. And my commentary is that the clear is written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand the word unattainable in that phrase. If the neshama remains concealed and hidden, okay, but unattainable, it seems like that word doesn't fit within three. It seems that that's what you reached. You attained the neshama.
Do you? The neshama does not stay with the ruach if your actions are negative. The neshama leaves. That's the meaning of unattainable.
Okay.
You rise.
Is it harder to have the neshama return? Is it harder the next time around?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I also had a thought on that last verse after we started to experiment of the next verse. I remember for Shabbat Shuva years ago, I used to take my challah with three rings, you know, take my ropes and make one circle and then loop the second circle and loop the third circle to represent those three levels of the soul. I didn't realize what I was doing, but I'm wondering, I know it was Shabbat Shuva. Is there a link to the soul and Shabbat Shuva?
Is there a link to the soul? Yes.
On that particular day?
Yes.
More so than any other day?
Yes, because you've been cleansing through the whole month of Elul. And
okay.
Then you're in the midst of the 10 days of Tshuva, and you reach the Shabbat, which is an elevation to Bina. And so the cleansing is the most complete at that moment. Up until Yom Kippur.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing. I hope it was considered a good deed. I haven't done it in years. I'll have to remind myself.
What were you doing?
I know I have a picture of one of my, of my home that I had made, you know, different ones for the coach and the one for Shabbat Shiva. I had this three circles that I had made. So I must have been maybe at that time I was learning about the levels. That was, had to be in the 90s, the late 90s, I suppose.
What I think you're describing is that you had reached that level of a free gift where you're given a taste of the next level up, and then you lose that taste and you have to regain it through effort. But it seems sometimes like we never regain that taste. But that's the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it was because I was so busy having to bake challah for every Simcha at the synagogue because no one else did. So you can imagine how many loaves I was having to bake at High Holy Day time with Rosh Hashanah, having challah or, you know, synagogue services as well as here at home, as well as for Break the Fast, for Yom Kippur, well as Sukkot, and I always had lots of guests at Sukkot here at the house, plus we did the sukkah at the synagogue, so you can see why I quit shaping. I didn't have time to shape. I was lucky just to braid with having, you know, like at High Holiday times, I would bake like 4 days straight in a bow, and so I got away from, you know, doing the different designs for different special days here at home.
Understand. We are out of time.
Okay.
The 7 o'clock class is a Tikkunei Zohar. I do have a very quick question, though. Last night, when you indicated that you understood the Ari's writings for this week, did you find that the commentaries that I added were beneficial or unnecessary?
Oh, no, they're always beneficial. Always.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was amazing. If anybody wanted to know a reason or proof of reincarnation, that one was the perfect one to illustrate, because to see the connection in the souls of Yitro and Moses and their connection to Cain and Abel and down to the wife and the children, I mean, it was just...
Everything was there, absolutely.
Yes. On the last page of the commentary, I need to go back and reread. It wasn't that, I don't know, I felt like there was an application to me personally. So, and you know how it is, then the next day your day is full and you hope you can get to it. But I thought that one was, because a lot of people, you say, you know, even if you use the word Gilgalim, like I used that term at Torah study Saturday, and I saw the eyebrows raised. They were questioning why the Shoah, you know. And when I gave a little bit of explanation of, you know, Hashem is a just God, and the idea that no one dies unless the decree has been laid down by the heavenly court, and also,
and everybody always goes to the Shoah. How can you explain the Shoah?
Mm-hmm.
It's always where everybody goes, because most of the people that we're talking to, they passed in the Shoah. That's their previous lifetime, and that's where their interest comes from.
Mm-hmm. But when you mention reincarnation, I try to not use the word. I try to say, you know, according to Gilgalim, you know, the recycling of the souls rather than the word reincarnation.
That's the meaning of Gilgul, is wheel. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's the rolling of the wheel.
Well, it's the same thing with the word Kabbalah. You know, sometimes if you can avoid using the word, you know, if you can say according to the Brie, according to Maimonides, or, you know, but if you say, well, according to Kabbalah or one of the Kabbalah texts, well, you're going to see the eyebrows go up, and, you know, so anyway.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Is that teachings posted? Is it on the recording?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't had time to look today.
Well, you'll really be able to relate to it because I think we've met, well, Cain and Abel in the evangelization classes before. So you'll be able to relate to it well.
Mm-hmm.
And Hanok's coming.
I do have to run.
All right. Hope to see you tonight. Thank you. Bye, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night. Shalom.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.